Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read for you just a few verses from the book of Revelation. We don't study the book of Revelation very much. It's kind of a complicated book. But these words are fairly simple, and we'll talk about them here in just a few minutes' time. Revelation chapter 21, right at the end of the book, verses 3 through 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older order of things has passed away." He who was seated at the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." This is our text for today. Dear friends in Christ, we've all heard expressions like those were the good old days. You know, we tend to talk about the good old days in favorable terms, to be sure. They don't make them like they used to. Back then, they were built to last. Back in the day, things were different. They were simpler, slower, and less stressful. I remember when, and of course, you know, there are all kinds of ways in which we like to think back, to kind of reminisce, if you will, as though life was somehow better back then and will never be quite the same again. But, you know, how does that old saying go? Different strokes for different folks. You know, not everybody values stuff the same. Take a look at the cover of your folder this morning. For those of you listening on the internet, what we have here are two pictures, one at the top of the page, one at the bottom of the page. The top is a Model T Ford. At the bottom, we have a 2013 Ferrari 599 GTO. Now, there are those who would rather have a Model T than a Ferrari. And obviously, it is not the monetary value, or for that matter, the technology, or any of the other modern conveniences that come with the newer cars. It's not that stuff that's important. Especially the monetary value. The top of the line Model T, this would have been the touring class car, you know, with a hard top and windows all around and white wall tires. Had the four-cylinder 2.9-liter engine that delivered a booming 20 horsepower, which drove the car along at 45 miles per hour. That car sold for about $850. The fleet model, that is a stripped-down version, you know, with a canvas top, no windows, black wall tires, that sort of thing, sold for a little less, about $500. On the other hand, the modern Ferrari 599 GTO comes in at $410,000. The fleet model, that is a version with a little bit fewer whistles and horns on it. It comes in at a bit less, about $197,000. The GTO has a 12-cylinder, 670-horsepower engine, and it will go faster than anyone wants to go. Now, everyone will agree that there is quite a difference between the Model T and the Ferrari. As a matter of fact, everything about them is different. The price, the aerodynamics, the engine, the tires, the top speed, even the color. All of the Model Ts were black, and all of the GTOs are red. And of course, some like one and some like the other. And my guess is that nothing is going to convince either side to switch, to change their preferences, or perish the thought to trade one for the other. Different strokes for different folks. Now, perhaps there's a little bit of confusion concerning today's text. You know where Jesus says, I am making everything new? It kind of begs a couple of questions. Why is he going to make everything new? Why does he have to make everything over again, make it all new? And the second question, of course, is what's going to happen to everything old? Where's that going to go? Well, he says that everything old, everything that exists, will be destroyed. The sun, the moon, the stars are going to go dark. The heavens will roll up like a scroll. The earth and everything on it will disappear, and all of this will happen amidst fire and smoke and lightning and thunder. And then, when there's nothing left, when everything is gone, and since there will be nothing left at the end of that destruction, he is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. So I guess the new stuff that he's going to make after he destroys all of the old stuff will be just like the old stuff that he made in the first place. And of course, that causes us to ask, what was so wrong with everything? You know, what is so wrong with everything that it will need to be discarded and replaced? Why replace everything? Well, as it turns out, the perfection of that first creation was lost when man fell into sin through disobedience there in the Garden of Eden. And at that point in time, everything that God had created was corrupted in some way or other. Along came the weeds and the thistles. Along came venomous reptiles and insects. Along came illness and disease. And along came death. Death in everything. Plants, animals, birds, fish, and of course, death in mankind as well. God's solution to this problem was to send a Savior into the world, and that Savior would reconcile mankind. That reconciliation, that bringing mankind back to what he was, would be possible because of the sacrifice of this Savior. His death for the sins that he didn't do would serve as payment in full for the sins of mankind, for your sins and for mine. And that made it possible for us to regain our immortality, the immortality that we were created with in the first place, immortality that was lost by virtue of our sinfulness. And that immortality would come to us by believing in who this Savior was and by believing in his efforts on our behalf. Then, along with our newly acquired immortality, you know, we're going to live forever, God will provide a paradise in which we can live out eternity. By the way, that paradise will be like the original paradise was created to be. It will be like the original paradise was before sin corrupted the whole works. Remember when God said that it was all very good? Well, that's what it's going to be, all very good again. And just how will God accomplish this perfection in all of creation? How's he going to make it all perfect? I suppose when you think about it, there are two possible ways. There is plan A, in which he could repair all of the damage done by sin, and that would require him then to tinker with all of the things in creation. Or there could be a plan B, I suppose, where he simply discards the damaged stuff, gets rid of it, and then replaces all of the corrupted stuff with brand new stuff, using the same creative technique that he used in the beginning, namely to speak his desire, and it would come into being, it would come into existence. Remember what he said there in the book of Genesis. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He said, "Let there be earth and sky," and it was so. "Let there be water and dry land," and it happened. "Let there be the sun, the moon, and the stars," and they were there. "Let there be animals, birds, and fish, and plants, large and small." He spoke, and those things happened. In plan B, everything will be made again, just like it had been made in the first place, perfect and intended to last forever, designed to last forever. It will be a new heaven and a new earth brought into existence by the power of God's word. You know, it's kind of interesting. Cars have come a long way over the years. And in reality, there's no comparison between the Model T and the Ferrari GTO. They are, in fact, mutually exclusive of one another by virtue of their styles, their technology, their cost, their performance. Perhaps the only way to appreciate both of them equally, because they are so different from one another, is to lump them together under a single category of cars. Then as car lovers, you know, folks who love all kinds of cars, as car lovers, we can view them as equally beautiful, equally desirable, and we can do that in spite of all of their differences. Let's think about our eternal well-being a little differently also, shall we? We know the original creation was all very good because God said so. He looked and said, "Boy, this is all very good." We know that the new heaven and the new earth will all be very good because Jesus says it will. For all practical purposes, they will be the same. That is, the new and the old will be identical. When you and I get to paradise on the last day, we won't have to remember the good old days because we'll be living in the equally good new days. We won't have to say they don't make them like they used to because the new will be made just like the old. We won't have to remember when because the now will be the same as the then. We won't have to decide between the old and the new because we will have them both forever. Think about this. Just imagine how happy it will make God to give us in the end what he gave us in the beginning. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that you and I have in our hearts, knowing that on the last day God will give us what he wanted us to have all along, may that peace keep us in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.